Identifying.
Bye bye, one.
Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studio. Got a special edition this week of your favorite action sports and racing and MMA, pop culture, Hollywood, music, and whatever else we want to talk about podcast. Thank you guys for another epic year. This is kind of our holiday edition, I guess, last podcast of the year. And taking a theme from last year, we took my very favorite interview from all of last year and re-aired it because it was like premium on Podcast One by then. So, you know, you regular listeners that aren't a premium subscriber, you should be. But if you're not, you could hear it again. And that was my interview with Ken Block, for those of you that may have missed it. So this year I decided, last podcast of the year, let's do it again. Let's pick my favorite interview, one, my favorite guest to interview in all of last year, or, you know, but one that did really well download wise, and maybe something out of the box you guys didn't expect. So for this year, we decided we were going to re-air the Naomi Kyle interview. Spent an hour with Naomi Kyle. At that point in time, she was the face of IGN.com. She's gone on to do some other projects. She's on TV. She does some stuff with Twitch, social media. She's just a rock star, but it was an amazing hour spent with her, and I thought I'd re-air it. It's premium now on Podcast One, so you can get the original there. But, you know, for those of you who missed it, it's definitely worth the listen. An amazing, amazingly talented woman who is definitely making a name for herself in, you know, I guess in the gaming and Hollywood scene. So I had a lot of fun with her. Thought I'd re-air it as a special last podcast of the year. Next week, we're going to crank things up back to normal for our first podcast of the year. Make sure and subscribe to us if you're not already on iTunes. Hit that subscribe button. Please leave a rating or review. It means a lot to me. I know that you guys definitely, you know, that listen in have supported it. Those of you who haven't, please go and hit 1 through 5 stars, leave that rating. And if you leave a review, if you leave your Twitter, Instagram at username, I will follow you back on social media. Thank you guys for another heck of a year on Project Action. Hopefully you guys are also listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show powered by Polaris Razor with Amy Hood and I. We're back with that, our motorsports show, after the first of the year here on Podcast One, iTunes, my website, downanddirtyshow.com. And, you know, I guess AM/FM networks around the country. We're pretty saturated at this point. So thank you guys for the support of that. If you want to get a hold of me over the holidays or anytime, at JimBeaver15 on social media, I accept DMs. I try and respond to all posts that I'm tagged in, all comments. You know, definitely hit me up. If you got any guest suggestions, feedback on the show, any of my shows or anything I'm doing, and, you know, all my racing shenanigans. So it's going to be a great holiday season for me. I'm headed to Minnesota. But once again, thank you guys for supporting this show. And thanks to our amazing partners for supporting it as well. We're going to go uncut with Naomi Kyle. So I'm going to run through a couple of our amazing partners right now. And one of those has been there since the beginning is our good friends at TrueCar, you know. And if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does that actually mean? Well, the same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. And you're really looking for is the price that actually means something to you. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars that you want from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car. Your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they'll win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. And I also have to tell you guys, if you've missed it, there's a new show on History called Nightfall. It premiered Wednesday, December 6th at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific, and it continues to air every single week. It's a new scripted drama series set in medieval France. It's tangled in the politics and conflict, and one headstrong and courageous Templar knight, Landry, will lead his order of warrior monks on a life-or-death mission to find the lost Holy Grail. Control the Grail, control the world. History's new drama series, Nightfall, it premiered on December 6th at 10, 9 Central on History, and make sure and check it out weekly live. I love that show. And another thing that I love is our friends at Geico, you know, and this is a 30-second commercial, so I'm going to run through and throw a lot of numbers at you. But please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering you great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. And sorry for all the numbers in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm out of time. But you are just in time to catch this amazing interview I aired back in the springtime with my good friend Naomi Kyle here on Project Action right after these words from Podcast One.
This is Susie Schuster, and I'm with Rich Eisen, my husband. We do not just sports on Podcast One Sportsnet. We've had incredible guests. I mean, if I have to say so myself.
Say it.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Hank
Azaria.
Yes.
Paul Rudd.
Bob Saget.
Jim Harbaugh. Do you know who he is?
Oh, my God. He's my coach.
You can find us exclusively at PodcastOne.com or on the new Podcast One app. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts.
Please don't forget.
All right, I'd like to welcome Naomi Kyle to the show. How's everything going, Naomi?
Everything's awesome. I am so excited to be a part of your show, and I'm hearing a lot about you, and I'm learning a lot about you. So excited to talk about, I guess, you know, what got me here and everything.
Yeah, and it scares me. What are you hearing about me? Like, is it good, bad? Like, I don't know.
But we're gonna find out.
Yeah, exactly.
We're gonna find out. No, it's all good. It's all been great, and definitely has been an opportunity that I've been waiting for. You know, I haven't kicked off the year with anything other than like a written interview, so it's exciting to be able to talk to your audience and let them in on a little bit of what makes me.
Yeah. No, and that's what's funny, because like you figure somebody like you, you're in the online space, you know what I mean? And like I did a quick iTunes search, you know what I mean? Like you would have figured, I was like, oh, Naomi's one of those that she's probably, you know, does 15 podcasts a year, you know, interviews and stuff like that. And I pulled it up and you've done some, but I'm like, oh man, she hasn't. It's not like you've done a massive amount. So I'm like, oh, this is cool. Maybe we can step out of the box here and do some questions that maybe you don't get asked all the time. So
it's great.
So yeah, I mean, kicking things off here, I know one of the things, like, you know, when I put this podcast together, I was like, I really want to do interviews with some fun people, some out of the box stuff. And you're somebody that I've followed, I think, on social media and IGN since, I don't know, for quite some time, because I'm in action sports and in the motorsports world. But, you know, I'm still like, I've played video games my whole life. And, you know, so I've always been kind of frequented, you know, IGN. And it was like you popped up. And so I start watching your stuff. I'm like, she would be totally fun for an interview. But your story, how you got here, to me is really interesting. I mean, we'll talk about gaming and, you know, and a bunch of current events and things like that. But I mean, you grew up in Canada. I mean, how was that? I mean, how did you get where you're at? Because this is a male dominated industry. And, you know, I know from what I understand, I mean, there was some cold calls on your part, like sending DVDs and things like that, or, you know, to IGN offices. Correct. I mean, you know, take us back to the beginning and how you got to where you're at with IGN now.
Yeah. To answer your first kind of question about growing up in Canada, the part that I grew up in, especially Quebec overall, it's different than the rest of Canada. You know, there's a different culture. It's completely the government and everything is just, it's not what you'd expect out of a Canadian province because of the French language and how, you know, the government there really wants to keep a hold on it. So it felt a little like, you know, coming to the big city now, looking back, I do think that I was somewhat, you know, secluded, or I was, you know, cut off from what, a lot of, you know, the rest of the world gets to see, or at least, you know, you guys in America do. And so when I was a kid, I was pretty, I don't know, it was a small town. You'd look at the small town that I'm from and my family, and you wouldn't think I would be in the position that I am now at all. You know, you'd think like I'd still be living there, probably raising a family. It was that kind of town. So I think growing up in a small town, there's not much to do. So obviously gravitated towards games at a young age. All my friends had the newest consoles. My parents were all about being outdoors, so they, like, didn't get me a console for a while until they I finally, like, pressured them into doing it. And then just learned a lot about games from there at a young age. And then one of the things about the small town I grew up in, which is a small town called St. Agathe, is there's no colleges, or there's no English-speaking colleges. So if you want to continue your education, you have to move to Montreal. So I was 17 when I got my first apartment, when I got my first roommate, when I started college, totally, completely new to the fast paced, you know, city lifestyle. And Montreal's pretty slow compared to the rest of the world when it comes to their metropolis cities like New York and San Francisco.
Yeah.
So I started working at a music store there. I did it for 4 years. It was like one of my first jobs that I got in the city, like after a month of living there. And it's Steve's Music Store. It's kind of known in the Canadian space, in the country. But I started there, learned a lot what I had to learn about, you know, being social and meeting all sorts of different types of people, different egos. And then went through college, was able to pick up a small part-time, like, modeling side gig. And I was still into games, still playing games on the regular. And so when it finally came time for me to just find a career path, I was lucky enough to audition for a Game Loft podcast that was being shot once a month. It was a tiny podcast. It only got like 25,000 views, which I know it doesn't sound like to an average person, but like for a company, that's pretty small. And that's over time, you know, would get that amount of views. And so I was working on the video team for like a year and a half. And I was starting to look like, you know, what's next from here? Because, yeah, of course, at a young age, you're kind of like always looking at what's next. And I was able to kind of keep my eye on IGN, keep my eye on like different companies that were in the media space and in games. And it actually was a complete surprise to me when I hadn't even started the process of like applying to these places, where someone messaged me on Facebook. It was actually Ty Root, the head of the video team at IGN at the time, who like messaged me on Facebook and was like, "Hey, like I have this opportunity to work for IGN and I would love to discuss with you like the process to get to see if you'd be a good fit." And I was like, "Wait, this got to be a lie. Yeah. There's no way."
Who's pulling my leg here?
Yeah, exactly. Like it was through Facebook, so like at the time, like social media was pretty new, and it was hard to trust that was a real thing. Someone like must have found out. I was like looking at IGN or something. I was trying to like pull a prank, but
April Fools.
It turns out it was official, and they made me go through the audition process. And there's a lot more detail and nuanced things there that happened, but got my visa, and then the next thing you know, I start working here, and my first day is like E3. And
thrown to the wolves.
What?
I said thrown to the wolves. Your first day is E3. Like, wow. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You put it perfectly. It's thrown in the wolves, thrown right into the fire pit.
Yeah.
And, like, hope you get out alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a lot. That's like the short and quick inversion. I can go into detail about every little aspect of that, but yeah, that's the gist of it. That's what got me here. And of course, you know, my knowledge of gaming and being a really driven person, having been given this opportunity and coming from a family that like never left their hometown. So, and still live there.
Yeah.
So I was like the first one to kind of fly the coop and go on an adventure, you know?
Yeah. Do you go back home now? And like, you know what I mean? It's like everybody in your hometown knows exactly what you're doing. And it's like, oh, I saw you here. I saw you there. And it's like, you're the super celebrity back home.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe some of the things. Okay. So my dad's like my super fan and he's a talker. So he'll go around town and any store he walks in, he'll know people and any like business he works for or goes into. And he'll like drop my name and he'll like show videos and like get everyone involved into kind of what I do and tell everyone that I'm living out in the big city in California and San Francisco. And so, yeah, like I go back home and they're like, "Hey, we want to take you to," because they put a Walmart recently. Not a good thing, actually. It did kill like our smaller town, but it was, it was like the biggest thing when I first had gone back after my first year, where they're like, "Yeah, we're going to take you to Walmart. There's a few people I've been talking to them about you and they want to meet you." And so I had to do like a little tour of like the small town that we live in to meet and speak with those people. Cause he always tells me how he'll tell these stories and he'll show photos and things, but like so many people are like, nah, that's not real. He's making this up.
Yeah.
So to prove, he kind of like has to prove, and my mom too, like has to like, you know, prove that I'm real. And so whenever I'm in town, they're like, hey, let's make a pit stop at Walmart. Yeah. Let's make a pit stop at, you know, gas station. And I know the guy who, you know, cleans my windows. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's a little bit like that. Definitely.
Yeah. You know, what's funny too, is something you said, and it's so weird because, you know, you talked about being driven and things like that. And this is just like a personal observation, but I know. So like going back to a little bit, so my publicist is a Canadian woman. My teammate in my race car is a Canadian woman. And then I've also got my national co-host is a Canadian woman. And it wasn't like this was planned, but I'm surrounded by like all these Canadian women in my life, right? And they're all just good friends and good people. But I've learned that there's something about Canadian women, the work ethic and the drive for some reason is so much different than here in the United States. And it's not necessarily, I'm not talking about American women or anything. It's just, there's something about people that grow up in Canada, and it's the same for the men, but there's just a work ethic and a drive. And it's not to say you don't find that in the United States, but it's just something different that I found. And I mean, it's like, you know, it's like they see something out there and it's like, they're after it. You know, it's like, that's mine. Nobody's going to get it from me. I'm going to grab it and take it, you know? And it's so funny to hear you say that because it's just an observation I've made, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know, like, I would be, like, the least expert on this subject, but the least the person the least knowledgeable about this. But, like, there definitely is something. Even some of my close friends back home have that same drive. Like, all my girlfriends and people I've met along the way. And I don't know if it's just they're not ever – maybe there is, like, a different cultural reason why that happens. But it is fascinating to see, like – just how and just Canadians in general have that drive and they're very successful when they come to the States too. Like you can like some of the biggest comedians and some of the biggest like musicians and I don't know if we just like it's part of the conversation or we're taught at a young age you can really reach for the stars and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we're not put, you know, ideas in our head about like, oh, you know, it's like, you know, you'll never make it or like my mother was extremely just the strongest person in my family. My grandmother, even more so, just, they're just powerful. Like they're, my dad's kind of like he's shy, you know, and that's his thing, but he talks a lot. It's a weird, thing that part of his personality, but my mom and my grandmother, you know, you meet them and they're just like, they're such strong personalities. And, my mom has always taught me at a young age, like, you know, I'm never going to tell you what to do, like really pick what you want to do for the rest of your life. And I'll support that, you know, and that was just my upbringing. I don't know if it's the same for everyone else there. And especially in Quebec, you know, if people are raised only speaking French, like I'm sure there's a limitation there for them because they come to the States and now they have to learn a whole new language. But I was lucky enough, both my parents were bilingual and that helped too, you know, cause, and I did have sort of a French, a little French tone to my voice.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if you ever experienced that when you move places or you go to a new place and all of a sudden you develop a new accent, but it's subconscious. Like you don't really catch as to why that happens, but it happened to me. Cause you could tell I was like French speaking when I would speak English. And now that's completely gone since I moved here.
But is it one of those things when you go back home though?
That took a tangent, but
yeah. Is it one of those things when you go back home though, and you're there for a week or so, it comes back?
Yeah. Or I'll really notice the difference when my mom speaks English versus how I speak English or my sister, you know? So there is that change in because you go home and Quebec, you know, I don't know if you've ever been. Have you ever been there?
No, haven't
or
been
like
to Quebec,
Montreal?
No.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's very much what people say it is. It's this European little nook in North America, you know, it has this European vibe, they speak a different language, everything's kind of different, and it has its own thing going separate from the rest of North America, and so you go there, and it's like, it's almost surprising to know that there's a place like that, just kind of in the middle, like, smush between the rest of Canada and the States, but yeah, you'll go back home, and you'll, like, everyone's speaking French, and there is, like, a moment where I go back home, and I'm like, oh, I kind of miss the French language, and, but no, like, it's there's a difference there in how the English spoken language sounds compared to here. And of course, the states have a variety of different accents and English language. But yeah, anyways, going off about language and accents and stuff, but
It's the same way here in the States, though. I mean, you can go to certain areas of the country, and or you can be traveling and meet somebody, and you'll be like, oh, I know you're from down south, or you're from the Northeast,
Mississippi,
there's just certain things. Hey, you're from Minnesota, you know. It's just one of those things where you can tell, you just pick up on things. And I think, you know, there's areas of the country that are almost like a small country within a country, and I can see that with Quebec and Canada, you know. It's just it's just, there's differences.
Definitely.
Yeah. So going back to, you know, kind of you, though, and bring it up. So you were talking about, you know, getting kind of dropped into the fire at E3. you know, let's talk about that. You know what I mean? Because IGN, all of a sudden, you know, not that what you were doing wasn't big time, but I mean, dropping into IGN as far as being in the gaming media, I mean, that's about as big as it comes. I mean, dropping into that, I mean, you know, I know video game fans can be vicious. I mean, it's just, I mean, it, you know, how was that for you? I mean, do you feel like there was a ton of pressure on you? And I know, especially because you were kind of replacing, I think, Jessica at that point in time had kind of moved on to other things, you know, and she was pretty popular. Yeah. I mean, did you feel a lot of pressure coming in?
Yeah, it was scary. Because, I had been watching as I was doing my research. This was way before I even got the job.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing where she was at in her career and the shoes I had to fill, you know, when I did finally get the offer and I was, you know, accepted into the IGN family. There was huge pressure for me to, develop a personality. She has this strong, you know, like, oh, I'm hosting, but like, you know, I sound like I don't care, but I do care. Yeah. And I know everything about video games. I'm like the coolest chick. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I just love video games, and I've kept it like relatively a part of my, you know, home life, but I've never gone out and like put it out there. And so I had to, you know, buckle under the pressure and like just kind of, it was like a rocket ship that was going and I was just barely hanging on, you know, because I was like, what am I doing? First off, I'm completely new to this. I'm doing a live show at E3, the most watched, like biggest show in gaming of the year. And I'm, you know, working for the biggest, the most renowned video game company in the world, and everyone's watching me. What if I fail this miserably? So, you know, of course it wasn't perfect. My first time working that show, because I had barely learned how to read a prompter at that point. I had barely had experience doing live discussions or anything along those lines. So, and I was meeting people that I was like, I idolized, like Ken Levine, you know, like right off the bat. So not only am I starstruck, I'm also under pressure. I'm also super nervous because of everyone who's watching me. And I, you know, kind of had a shy personality at that time. I hadn't completely grown into my own and I was still figuring things out. So, that was an intense show for me, but I got through it and everyone was very supportive. I think the cool thing about IGN is like, everyone's a family. Everyone knows like this job's hard and you go through a lot, especially how, you know, the gaming industry can be. It's just, it can be brutal. You know, not to mention the internet's brutal. So you have to look at that and try to like develop a strong skin. But I think, after that show, like nothing could take me away for it. Like the fact that I'd gone through E3 was like, okay, now I can finally breathe. Yeah. Like everything else after this should be a breeze. And it kind of was, you know, I was able to develop friends and friendships around the office and work on the show, The Daily Fix, which was a lot more, you know, we could take multiple takes and it's good, you know, we'll get it edited and stuff. And of course, now I'm so used to it where it's like, just, it's like how I breathe air, you know, it comes second nature. Yeah. But that was intense, you know, meeting some cool people, seeing how big the show was. I'd never been there. Seeing all my favorite games and some of the developers, Ubisoft. Yeah, like it's kind of like an experience with added, you know, nervousness. And because if you go to E3 for the first time and you're a fan and you don't have any work to do, it's fun and you're going to love it. But then if you're going there and you're working, there's just like, it compounded by the fact that, you know, I was completely new to the job and everything, but
I'm at E3, and then you're like, holy crap, I'm getting paid to be here. Like, you know, it's like, whoa.
That was the other thing, yeah, day one, doing the live show. First like, legitimate video game company job. Like, first, it was my career. It was the start of my career, you know?
Well, cool. And talking about the Daily Fix, I know, you know, you're talking about, you know, kind of making it your own and stuff like that. And one thing, like, watching, I've always like, you know, I watch it almost because I love your humor, because after, you know, you do whatever you're supposed to be doing, then you've always got some comment, and it always gets a chuckle out of me, because I know you're just totally shooting from the hip there, but it's probably what's really on your mind. And I've always found that funny. But one thing I know, you know, me, you know, having to do TV voiceovers and doing a radio show every week, a national radio show, and then a podcast every week and stuff like that. Like, there's some days I go into the office, you know, or I go in to do TV, and it's like, it's been a bad day, or it was a bad night the night before, you know, and it's like, you're down, and it's like, all right, you know, it's like, you've got to flip the switch. You've got to put on the smiley face for at least. And that's one thing I've always loved, is like, you bring that energy one way or another. And I know there's got to be some days that are really hard to bring that, but you've been really good at flipping that switch. And other people I've noticed in media, sometimes like it shines through. You can tell, oh, they're not having a good day, but you've really been good at being able to flip that switch.
Thank you. Well, that's super sweet. Thank you so much. You get it, because you've done it yourself. Like, I mean, I've gone through some stuff, like, you know, in my private life. You guys wouldn't even know the half of it, like, or the audience wouldn't even know the half of it. But, like, it's something that people at IGN know, and, you know, it's not something I want to, like, put negative energy towards or, like, bring out as, you know, if I'm shooting a show, I have to get past it. And there's days it's been a struggle. Thank you so much for being so nice and saying, like, it looks like I'm fine every day, and I'm able to bring that energy. And it's true. Like, some days I'm surprised when I watch a show that I shot, and I know what's been going on, you know, internally or, like, personally. And I'm like, oh, I was able to get through that. Wow. Like, I actually don't, you can't even tell, you know, you look at me and I'm like, making cracking jokes and smiling at the end of the show, and you wouldn't be able to tell. But it's definitely something you develop. Like, I think after doing it, I've done it for 6 years now, you kind of, it is like a switch, you know, you kind of, you go into the office and it comes second nature, and you're like, you kind of, you know, there's a job to do, and you kind of forget that there's all this other stuff going on in the background. Sometimes it's harder days, like, it's harder on certain days than others, but you kind of have developed this on-camera persona, or this, like, way of doing your job that is just so, it's like a switch. You turn it on and you go through the thing, and then it's over. And then you're able to go back and resume back to your daily, you know, what have you. So but it's not to say, like, some days it's like really hard, or some days I don't want to be doing this, but it's because you're human, you know, no one's perfect. But I do think about that, and it's become easier and easier. Like, the more and more I do this, the more and more I'm able to really shut off the, you know, whatever's on my mind before the shoot, and bring a completely different energy. Cause at the end of the day, it's about making a show, and the show must go on, and it's show business in some ways, you know, it's the internet, but it's still show business. And you want to deliver something that the fans are going to, or like just your audience is going to want to see and love, and that you're not taking that away from them, because you're kind of doing it, you know, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing without them. And I enjoy making the show as well. Like, I've developed such a love and, like, an understanding of what we do, and I write more, and I do more of the, you know, off the quip, like, off the script jokes, and that's because I have fun doing that. And having a job that you love and that you're passionate about and that fulfills you can help you through some of those tough times, for sure. Yeah. So But thank you so much for saying that. No. I always look on top of it and like completely
well, I think
happy.
It's an observation from somebody who, you know what I mean, makes a living kind of like you do. And it's like, you know, I know how hard it is for me some days. And it was like, you know, and you know, I don't think people can really put it into perspective until you've been there and walked in those shoes. But I know how hard it is. And I watch enough of your content that I go, you know, she's really figured this out, you know. And I, like you said, there's things that, you know, me in my personal life, I can't say, you know, on air, and I'm not going to. And it's like, but you just, you know, it's, you've got to learn to flip the switch. Some people have figured it out, and obviously you're one of them. And it was just an observation, you know, and I just thought I'd bring it up because you do a hell of a job at it.
No, I appreciate it. It's nice to hear, you know, it's nice to hear that because, you know, sometimes you're like, oh man, like I must have sucked on that show,
exactly,
and I must have like done a terrible job here. I could have so like done so much better, Naomi. You know, you always are like your worst critic, and that's good to hear. Thank you so much for saying that.
No problem. Yeah. Well, how's it been for you too? I mean, you know, talking about, you know, women in the gaming industry, I mean, you know, this has been a male dominated industry for so long. And I mean, even you look at video game characters, and I think we've seen recently a turn made, especially, you know, like the new Lara Croft, you know what I mean? She's become more of a strong female and not overly sexualized and things like that. But how has it been you? I mean, you know, to be kind of a voice, you know, for women in gaming. I mean, you know, it's probably not something that you wanted to be, but you know what I mean, originally, but it's like you've morphed into that. I mean, how's that been for you?
For me, it's been really a positive experience. Just, like, I don't know that that's, how should I say, I'm trying to figure out how to, you know, deliver this idea, but I think for me, there's, yeah, being a woman in the position that I am in the industry, like, I see everything. I've been in those positions where I'm in a meeting with a group of, they're all 35-year-old white males, and it's like a group of five, and I'm just the only girl in the meeting, you know, and I've come across that several times, or people say, you know, you're not just a pretty face, or, you know, things like that, where it's like, okay, or they'll offer me a position that's like, well, that's completely below my grade, like, do you know what I do? Or they'll make assumptions, and just based off the kind of culture that we are surrounded by constantly as women, or be part of a boys club. Like, that's been a part of my life ever since I can remember, since working at Steve's. I was the only girl, you know, selling guitar picks, but everyone else was, were, you know, these rock star dudes. And, you know, so I've had to assimilate and like figure out how to navigate that without the support of other women. But what's good about, you know, working for IGN, but also working as my own brand, is like, IGN's been really good about hiring, you know, not picking and choosing, but just really giving women a shot at working here. And so I've seen where it was just me and one other girl working between both the video team and editorial when I first started in 2011. And now it's almost 50-50. Like, there's women and men working together, and it doesn't feel so much like a boys club as it used to. And I think it's just been great. And I feel very lucky that I was part of, like, I was able to see the evolution of that and be kind of at the kickstart of this whole dialogue that we're seeing in society. Like it wasn't really super prevalent the first 2 years, let me, like, just as an example. And then it really started kicking up, and where everything started being about, it's just started being a part of the conversation. And I've read up on things, and I've tried to like educate myself as like someone who's a woman in the industry, but like how to really help other women succeed and not be a support system versus, like, you know, what I've seen is like women will work together, but they'll always be competing against each other versus really supporting each other. And so I've been such an advocate and like trying to push for more of that. So like every new person who joins the office or every new woman I see in the industry, there's no hard feelings there. Like, I am so supportive of you, regardless of what it is you do, or what your opinions are, or, you know, and I try to see it as just like, let's just keep elevating. And I'm just, I feel very lucky to be in a position where I can talk about it and have a platform and an audience. Like, I've gone on panels and talked about this, and to be a part of the dialogue. And it also feels, and I'm just very lucky to be in a company that isn't surrounded by just, it's not like a boys club. And I've gone to companies where that's the case. And I always am like, I'll see, or I'll spot like another woman who's like maybe the only one, like one of 20. and she'll you know, come up to me, or I'll be introduced to her, and I'll try my best to really give her like the time of day and like talk to her and like talk about her dreams and like really make her feel like she's doing something great. Cause she is, you know, just being a woman in a male dominated industry. Like the more we elevate these women, the more there will be a conversation about it, and the more we'll see it develop into like, now it's men and women working together and they're all equals.
Yeah.
And that's the end goal, yeah. You know?
And I think I've noticed that too, yeah. And not necessarily just the video game industry, you know, but you mentioned, you know, a few years back, it was like kind of the turn started happening. And I know, you know, in both motorsports and action sports communities as well, not just, you know, female drivers, but on-air talent and personalities and athletes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I've seen that turn, and whereas, you know, you would see, you know, nine, male figures to one female. Now it might be, you know, 6-4 or even, or, you know, so it's like, I've seen that and it's rightfully so. I think, you know, there's been, you know, a changing, you know, of the guard or however you want to put it. But I see, like, you know, women now getting those opportunities they didn't get before and that they deserved, but it's like, you know, they're being viewed differently, you know, being viewed as equals finally. And I think that's a big step for, you know, not only the industries, but us as a society.
Yeah, no, exactly. We're looking at both men and women who are equally qualified, and we're giving it the job to the best person in that scenario. We're not saying, oh, well, he's a guy, so that's our obvious choice. Like, we're really taking the time to think through, like, who we're involving in our businesses. And this is everywhere. Like, it's not just gaming, like you said. And it's just creating a really positive kind of change in the dynamic of how business has been for several years. And still is in some, you know, in some businesses, they still run with that mentality, and they set themselves back, and they're being called out too, which is good, you know, because people will see that and they'll be like, hey, what the heck? Like, why can't a woman be doing this job?
Yeah.
You know? And I see that in the acting entertainment world too. Like, I was just listening to, do you listen to the Nerdist podcast?
Yes, I can't, it's in my, I'm subscribed. I can't say I listen to every single episode, but I catch it when I
can.
No,
me neither. But every now, and then I'll catch it. And like, Allison Williams brought up how, you know, in entertainment, she'll be like, hey, can I play the role of the doctor? Like, there's a guy here playing, like, when she has the choice, she'll be like, oh, I want to play the doctor. It looks like you guys have a guy in the script. Can I play the doctor? And they'll all be like, no, you know. But she brings it up every chance she gets, because, like, why can't it be a girl as a doctor? Like, what difference does it make, you know?
Yeah.
So, and just the fact that all genders are being considered in every discussion we're seeing throughout business. And that was my two cents about that. But yeah, it's exciting. It's a good time. It's a good time to be discussing that. And especially with everything that's going on in the world besides that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and talking about trends is kind of switching gears here a bit, but, you know, you've been one, I know, like, you know, I've witnessed literally in the past 5-6 years, and probably about the time you went into IGN, and it was about the time I started actually doing radio and TV and podcasting professionally, but social media has become so big. I mean, it was there before. I mean, there was always Facebook, MySpace before that, and Twitter, but it seems like it's so dominating now. And I know, like, I mean, I've got X amount of posts I've got to do this day and that day and this day, and I can, and numbers are so driven by what happens on social media, you know, with content and things like that. And I know you've been one that's, you know, been pretty up on the trends. I mean, you know, what is your approach to social media? Because, I mean, you're always putting out, you know, different content. It's not like it's a stale, same old, you know, this and that. But, I mean, how have you approached social media, and how have you seen that trend, you know, and that shift where it seems like everything, it's, you know, whether you put up an amazing article on IGN or not, it's like you've got to share it on social first to get the traffic over to IGN to actually, you know, see it or view it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for just as a general look at social media, like I think it's great that uniqueness is becoming such a big part of it. And that's kind of my approach. Like, I, not only do I have a lot of fun, like, my thing is I really like social media and I'm just a fan of being able to create things like on like the fly. I don't have to get approval for it through like my managers. I can just go for it and create something crazy and unique and different, and it won't be as high budget as like what I'm normally a part of. But it'll convey the message and it'll be funny. So I have a lot of fun entertaining and doing that through social media. But I also think the cool thing about social media overall is that we're seeing so many different types of humor, different types of personalities, different types of people. And the more unique, the more interesting it is, and the better. And I think that that's great, because now we're showing that, you know, you don't have to be part of the status quo. You don't have to be a certain type of person to be liked. You can be really just yourself, and there will be an audience for that. And so my approach is just, well, it took me a while to get to this point, because I was kind of like you or like anybody else who kind of starts social media and has to think, okay, how is this good for my business? Like, okay, I have an article going up. Okay, I have a podcast going up. Let me set this up so that I have it on Facebook, Instagram, all these platforms, and get the tone or get like a good headline so that people click it. And so that was like my approach for a long time. And then I just realized, like, you can really just post about, it should just be anything that you like find interesting in that moment. And to not filter it, you know, like I think my thing when I first started out was like, I would so have to like think about every tweet and overanalyze what the responses might be and overanalyze everything about the piece I was thinking about posting about. And I realized that, you know, mistakes happen in social media, like you'll typo something. So, and I've kind of learned to let go of like the fear of that happening, or the fear of like posting something that people might react negatively to, or the fear of second guessing a post and be like, oh, you know what? Like, I've overthought this. I'm not even going to post it. But now I'm just so like, I'm so trigger happy when it comes to posting on social media. It's true. Like I'll just be like, oh, whatever. I'll put it out there and see what happens. You know, like I've lost the fear of presenting an idea perfectly, and more just like letting it go and seeing what happens. And that's been so much, it's just been freeing, and it's been really fun. And I've been exploring different platforms. Like I've been doing Musical.ly recently, which I didn't really touch for like a long time. I've been doing more Snapchat, and just finding different ways to be creative and just, yeah, post about everything. Like there's no limits anymore. Like I don't have to like ask my friend, hey, what do you think of this? You know, yeah. I just post it. And, no matter how it makes me look. So I kind of have taken that approach. About it.
Well, and I want to talk about that, though. Twitch. I know you've been one of the first people that I've seen that I follow, that I think you and Jason Ellis are two of the first people that I follow that I know really well that have jumped into Twitch. And I know, like you, most people think, oh, she's just gaming on Twitch. Like, you've taken the complete, total opposite approach, and you're not gaming on Twitch at all. You're doing art and things like that. And you are the one that I looked at Twitch and I always thought as a gaming platform. I'm like, nobody wants to watch me play video games. They hear enough of me that they don't want to watch me play video games. And then I see what Naomi Kyle's doing. I'm like, all right, so how can I bring this in, you know what I mean, and you know, into my career and what I'm doing? And you were the one that really opened my eyes to it, and I'm like, oh wow, there is a lot I can do with that.
Well you bring up an interesting point, because I also wasn't aware of all the like Twitch creative stuff and how interesting that was, because I was also I was under the impression that everything Twitch did was just gaming related. And I was in a position, or I am in a position, where I'm kind of exclusive to the gaming content that I do with IGN. Like I basically have, you know, everything I talk about games or related to games has to go through the IGN outlet first. And so when I saw like an opportunity for me to get on Twitch, and I was seeing that as a complete like miss on my, you know, resume of social platforms that I've hit on or like been a part of. And I was just like, how do I still do the Twitch thing? And it's interesting to hear from you too, because I'm just a person who likes games, likes talking about them, has a cool job. And I don't realize sometimes when I do things that this is going to get people watching, and like, it's going to create, it's going to get people to that, like it's going to attract an audience. And so I started doing Twitch creative, and for me, it was like, there was an audience, and people were like, oh my God, I didn't even know you guys could do art on Twitch, but thanks for introducing that to me. So I didn't realize I was like kind of being a megaphone for that whole side to Twitch. And I just kind of ran with it, and I like it as an outlet. And I think that it's a really more in-depth way of talking with my audience because it's live and people are commenting, and I can, like, there's still a distance when you're doing a response on Twitter versus like a direct verbal reaction or reply to somebody's comment. And it's just a deeper connection, you know, and that's really cool. And I like being able to hear direct feedback from my audience when I'm doing something. And to kind of have people be a part of something creative, like painting, or, you know, I've done cooking and things like that. But yeah, it's interesting to hear from you. You're like, oh, now I found out that, you know, you can pretty much make Twitch whatever you want it to be. It doesn't just have to be games. So I'm like, now I'm kind of brainstorming what you could do.
Yeah, right.
Given that you're in the motorsports and stuff. Yeah. Like, did you have you like gone farther to like a brainstorming part of that, or are you just still testing the waters or figuring it out?
Yeah, I've really just started, I don't know, I see they've even got like these automotive channels and things like that, and I'm like, but I don't work on my stuff, like I do here and there, but I've got guys that do that. I'm like, how can I make this interesting, you know? And it's like, you know, I do Facebook Live and I do some live streams and, you know, and answer fan questions and things like that. So it's like, how can we do something different and change it up, you know? And it's, I don't know, I haven't really, I'm really surfing through Twitch and looking at everybody's channels and trying to figure out what I want to do. And I haven't found the hook yet. You know, and it's like, I'm one of those, like, I don't want to put something out there like in that form unless it's right, you know? And it's, so it's like, but it may take me some playing with it and just some toying around and, you know, and things like that and trying to figure out what works.
Yeah. No, it's a cool platform. And it's like, you do Facebook streaming, which I did touch on a little bit. Like, I tried some Facebook streaming just because they had just announced it. So I was like, oh, what's this? So yeah, like it's cool what you're able to do with all everyone, you know, all the big brands, you know, Google, Facebook are trying to like compete for that audience, right? Twitch, you know, obviously is like at the head of the curve when it comes to streaming, but yeah, periscoping. It's everywhere. You can create content in any form now. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's like, you know, and it's like, you know, the thing that amazes me is that, like, you can be anywhere in the world and boom, immediately, you know what I mean, with your phone, you can be showing people what you're seeing or where you're at. And I think that's, you know, and it's live. It's not like it's some, you know, picture you posted or a video you pre-recorded or something like that. And I think to me, that's what's so amazing about it. You know, I can be at an event or seeing something and witnessing it or being with somebody and be like, oh, let's hit this thing and go, boom, we're live. You know what I mean? And then people are like, oh, wow, you popped up in somewhere we never would have thought you'd be, you know? And I think that's really what's amazing and how, you know, and it's really changing an industry. You know, live streaming before used to be, oh man, you got to have a camera and you've got to have a, you know, a live stream account and you've got to have wires and you got to have a producer and you got to have this. And it was like, man, it was a
broadcasting
massive,
was so
it's
just bulky. It's like a hard thing to accomplish, or it was at the time. Like, you'd have to go through, you know, the TV or the networks, you know. And now it's just there. It's just available at the drop of a hat. Yeah. It's pretty interesting. I don't know, but I'm going to continue Twitch streaming for sure. I'm liking it. I think it's a good way to like kind of, cause it's like, I picture it as Twitch is basically your own TV channel and you could put up anything on there. You can host other people. You can create, you know, 24/7. You could, I mean, if you wanted, you could come up with like a new show idea going on every week, or like 20 of them, and just fill up your you know, your time on Twitch and have something airing every like 24/7. I mean, that's like a lot of work, but it's basically everyone has their own network now that they can build through these platforms. It's pretty interesting, and it's definitely where the industry's headed. Yeah, it's like a changing up the whole ball game.
Yeah.
Entirely.
Yeah, and it's like now you've got your live streaming on Twitter, you've got your live streaming on Facebook, you've got your live streaming on Instagram, you can live stream on Snapchat, you've got Twitch. It's like, I think YouTube's doing it now. It's like, holy crap, there's so many different, now it's like, oh, where do I pick where I want to live stream? You know, that's me. It's like, oh, do I go live on Instagram? Do I go live on Facebook? Which one do I want to use today?
It's really difficult to navigate that. Yeah, because you're given so many choices and I don't know. It's a crazy world out there right now where creativity can really be just a billion different things. Yeah.
So, you know, kind of switching gears one more time. I know, you know, obviously you've, you know, sure. had a really successful career there at IGN. I mean, what's next for Naomi Kyle? I mean, you know, I know you've kind of toyed with the acting thing and, you know, you've started doing a bit of acting
yeah.
here and there. I mean, you know, where do you see things kind of moving and morphing?
I think for me, you know, well, I've been working on some like side projects. I've been doing, even dabbling in music, which is crazy. But yeah, I've been dabbling in creating some music. I'm hoping it turns into an EP down the road. But yeah, the acting thing's been kind of kicking off pretty nicely this year. I was just down in LA on a project that, you know, I can't talk about just yet, but that was an acting role. And so I'm seeing definitely more growth in that department this year. And the Twitch streaming stuff, like that's become a really fun thing that I enjoy doing every evening. Every chance I get, you know, I enjoy putting together a production and having the complete control of making it my own show, different from, you know, what I do at IGN. And so more in that realm for sure. And more art to be made and to be, you know, put out there into the world. So just more ways, more fun, engaging content, just me being involved in more engaging and fun content, I think will be kind of the highlight of this year. And 5 years from now, who knows, maybe I'll start my own network or something. But for now, it's continuing with IGN and continuing the Comic-Con and the E3 coverage, and just continuing to talk with awesome people in the industry like you.
Well, thank you. Well, how was it for you
yeah.
too? I know with this, I mean, you know, all these doors open, you never know which door is going to open and where, and, you know, and sometimes it's a big
yeah.
surprise. I know like last year, big thing for you, you're one of the first people that got to do the new kind of the PG-13 non-nude Playboy. How was that for you? Because that's a massive brand to be, you know, welcomed into
yeah.
that family.
Yeah, that was definitely a cool thing that I did last year and a sort of highlight, like, to be part of such a recognized world recognized company like Playboy. And for me, it was twofold. It was not only was it great to be to finally do a photo shoot, which I hadn't done in a long time, but with such a reputable company, like that was a total honor and such an amazing time for me to concept that, because I'd come up with the idea to do it at a record store and all this stuff. So I was working with the team. But then also it was great because not only had Playboy shifted into now, you know, not doing nudity at the time, that it was a good time for me to, like, I don't know if I would have done it with them had they still been doing that.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, oh, I finally like have a way of doing a fun shoot with a reputable company, and it's completely classy and it's fun, you know. But then there was also the fact that everyone I worked with on set that day was a woman. And I don't know if that was done on purpose, but it was great to meet, like, the woman photographer who was working there was excellent. Like, I still follow her on Instagram. She's great. And then working with the makeup artist and the stylist and everybody, you know, working as a, you know, taking care of lighting for the shots. And it was all women. And I was so honored and, like, blown away by that, because I would have assumed that Playboy would have been, like, mostly men. But no, it was completely female-driven production, and that was really cool. And it was just a day shoot, but the photos that came out of it were great. And yeah, it was a complete honor to work with them, and to be, yeah, like you said, introduced to that family, because I'm totally like coming up with the next one, like the next shoot, like what that concept
yeah.
will be.
You got it in your mind now. It's yeah. like wheels are turning, right? Yeah. So.
Sorry.
I said wheels are turning in your mind. I know how it is. You know,
yes.
you don't know when the next shoot's
oh,
going to be, but it's like you've already got to figure it out, right?
Exactly. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool. And they allowed me to be very creative in that realm and like what I wanted to do, like style-wise, what the concept would be like. And yeah, it was just all the pieces came together and the results were amazing.
Yeah. So before we let you go, I got to ask one gaming question. We've kind of turned
sure.
this whole interview without talking gaming, right? But what are you playing currently? I got to ask. What's what you know, what are you dialed into?
I'm dialed into Horizon Zero Dawn. I was lucky that I got to interview Ashley Birch, who voices that entire character, Aloy, throughout the game. She does such an amazing job. But yeah, I've been knee-deep into Horizon World. I completed the game. I'm like 91-92% completed.
Nice.
So, but I'm going for the 100% completion, which is why it's taking so long for me to, you know, stop talking about that game, because I'm just always playing it. But it's like increments, right? Because like I stream three nights a week, so I have to like find time to finish everything, and the things that I have left to finish are super time consuming. Like I have to find data files that I might have missed along the way. I just got the invisible shield, which lets you play through the game basically like, you know, god mode.
Yeah.
And that's just been all I've been after lately. I really want to get to playing more Zelda on the Switch, but Horizon's kind of been taking up my time. Yeah, that's been it for me.
Yeah.
What about you?
What about me? I've got, I don't know, I've got a stack of, I'm crazy. Like, right now I'm at home, so I've got, like, a stack of games sitting there. And I haven't bought a new Switch yet, but it's one of those things where it's like I've got Zelda. It's like I never had a Wii U, so it's like now I get to revisit Mario Kart and all this other stuff. So it's like I haven't even gone that direction yet because I've still got this, you know, literally a stack of Xbox One games there.
Backlog.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I don't know. I've got, like, the new Mass Effect. I'm a massive Mass Effect fan, so I really want to play through that. So that's kind of the top of the list. I've still got some the second new Tomb Raider I've got to play through, and so I've got, I don't know, there's some stuff, and it's like, and I'm considering a PS4. I don't even own a PS4, but I was a massive fan of the Persona series, and it's like, so it's like, oh, do I go out and buy a PS4 just so I can play the new Persona? Yeah. You know, so, and I'm not even a JRPG fan. It was just, there's something about Persona that I really, really liked, and I was able to play it on a Vita when I was traveling, so it made it nice, because I just threw the Vita in the backpack, and you've got a 5-hour flight, so you just knock out a big chunk of Persona, you know, so I was able to do that.
Yeah.
But it's like, now it's like, man, I wish they didn't make it portable again. So it's like, please come out with a Switch or something. That way I can take it with me. But yeah,
well, that's cool. You should definitely get a PS4 though.
Yeah. No, I have, you know,
professional opinion.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I've got an Xbox One. I've got a Switch. It's like, I had a PS3. I haven't got the PS4 yet, and I just need to. They're cheap enough. They're no excuse other
that's
than
cool.
I just haven't done it. So. So there you go. That's...
Well, let me know what you think of Persona 5 when you get to it, and if you ever play Horizon 2.
Yeah, no, I've heard enough about it.
Where just...
Yeah, that one, that's at the top of the list right now. Literally, I think it's going to get plugged in tonight, so we're going to kick that thing off. So I'm finally home for like a month, so I can kind of start doing some of this stuff. So get caught up on the games. So, all right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, Naomi. Lots of fun. I'm like, man, I could have made this a 2-hour interview. So I'm feeling already like, I don't know, maybe after E3, I'll have to hit you up. We'll have to do like part 2 or something like that, because we didn't even get into the whole gaming side of things. So
let's book it.
Yeah, we'll definitely. We'll definitely have to stay in touch and knock another one of these out sometime. So it was too much fun. I think you and I could talk for quite some time. So.
Awesome. Well, I had a great time talking with you as well. And I'll be listening to this podcast from here on out.
All right. Well, I appreciate
it. Bottom dollar.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Naomi, and we'll definitely talk soon. Awesome, awesome interview we did with Naomi Kyle. I'd love to do a follow-up with her. But thank you guys for the support of the podcast throughout 2017. We are back in 2018 with this show, Project Action, as well as the Down and Dirty Radio Show powered by Polaris Razor, my motorsports show, kicking off both of them again the start of the new year. So thank you guys. You can always support us following me on social media at JimBeaver15. Subscribing to both shows on iTunes definitely helps us out. And don't forget, you can go to downanddirtyshow.com, catch all the latest, and you can use my contact form there to get a hold of me. But I love interacting with you guys. Also, don't forget, I've got that new Facebook group for all things, all my shows and everything else. It's facebook.com/group/JimBeaver15 if you guys want to join that group on Facebook and continue the conversation. Thank you to Geico. Thank you to TrueCar. Thank you to our good friends at History, and check out their new scripted drama series, Nightfall. And you guys have one heck of a holiday season. Be safe. Please be safe. I would love to have you guys back again tuning into this show after the start of the year. Would hate for you guys to do something dumb over the holidays, and, you know, that's not a good thing. But anyways, be safe. Have a great holiday season. And as always, game on.